Welcome in, everybody, to the OBR Film Breakdown. I'm your host, Jake Burns. Have a good episode today as a crossover with Brad Ward, where we discuss a bunch of the things that have shaken out in the last few days, especially Clowney, especially tomorrow's HBO. Well, I guess tonight, as you listen to this, tonight's HBO show that is going to put Deshaun Watson's accusers in front of the camera to give their side of things. So we discuss that at length, and then obviously discuss several other elements of what's going on with the Browns, including many of the other aspects around OTAs that are coming up, so on and so forth. We also failed to note that David Njoku, we should have talked about that, but we did not get to it, has yet to sign his tender. He mentioned he's next to sign. Appears, as we have heard, that he has turned down a big contract, but plans to sign that franchise tender. So keep an eye out for that in the next few days as the biggest piece of news. Otherwise, up on the website, we have roster breakdown analysis from Fred Greetham on the running backs for 2022. We also wrote up the interview that myself and Corey Kennan did on Alex Wright. It's a good sit down with him. Some good answers from him on a bunch of topics, both fun and football related. Check out that. And then the Browns waived Felix Harper, and we touch on this with Brad in a minute, but Baker Mayfield confirmed to miss voluntary OTAs that are looming close. So let's get over to our time with Brad. Always enjoy doing these crossover episodes with him. We hit on a good number of topics, and we will be back tomorrow with another fun episode, getting really detailed about Isaiah Thomas and Perrion Winfrey with somebody from Oklahoma. So, otherwise, enjoy today's episode with Brad Ward right now.
Jake is here with me tonight. Jake, how are you, sir?
Brad, I'm great as always, man. What's happening?
Not much, man. We're doing this thing. We're getting there. You know, we're getting there. So tonight we've got Clowney finally signs on the dotted line. OTAs start tomorrow, and the Watson drama continues. We've got some things to touch on here.
There's not much, but there's a lot, right? There's not much real life stuff happening right now after Clowney signs. I don't expect some very much real life stuff to happen until after the June 1st cap bubble hits again, where they get some money back for Austin Hooper. But I don't expect much there. But there is going to be a lot. There's going to be a lot on social media the next 2 days, and we're going to dive into that here in just a minute. But it is, it's about to be pretty intense.
Expect it to be a whole lot of fun. They're going to kind of take the fun out of start of OTAs here, in my opinion. But we'll hit that here in a second. Let's start with Clowney, though, and knock this out. Up to $11 million one-year deal. Is that what you expected, Jake?
A little less, to be honest. A little less. So that means the market wasn't very strong. It means that I think the Browns – now, there are people out there that I think that the Rappaport put out about Clowney chose the Browns despite more money and years on the table. I don't believe that for a second.
Okay.
I have said from the very beginning that Clowney is chasing the most money and guarantees he can get. And I don't blame him for it. He never got a big second contract in the NFL. Never was going to hold that against him. But – I just don't buy that. Listen, I guess in this world it could be true, but I just don't buy it to be true. So nonetheless, he comes back on a deal that I think the Browns offered him right away, held true to, told him we wanted him. Here's our number that we can afford you. And ultimately he just accepted it. And I think it'll work out well for both sides. I like Cleveland not being tied to, this long-term deal with a guy in his 30s who's got some injury history. They got a good deal last year. It worked out well for both sides. But that doesn't last year's production performance doesn't guarantee what the future is going to look like. So you're still concerned about some of the similar things that you were concerned about last year, right? So anyway, I think it's good. I think it's fine. We'll see what they do with some of the offset language for void years, what that looks like. And we'll also try to see what they do with some of the guarantees, because I'd be interested to see how much the Browns guarantee at signing and how much they kind of put on performance in terms of sack numbers, or how much they put on participation, how many games he plays, right? So that'll be interesting too.
Craig is usually a fan of water cooler talk, but it's draft season and that's all anyone wants to talk about. The Athletic has loads of articles about this year's draft, but Craig doesn't have The Athletic, so now he's filling up his water bottle in the bathroom sink, which, to remind you, is the sink people use after they use the bathroom. Get The Athletic and get the info you need to speak draft fluently.
We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences, so the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Yeah, he was at 8 last year, I think, guaranteed, right? 7 or 8?
Sounds about right, yeah. And he had a couple of incentives last year as well.
Yeah, and he probably hit some of those, I would imagine. Sack incentives, maybe games played. I'm not sure exactly what those numbers were, but you would think he probably would have hit some on some of those. Yeah. So he was probably pretty pleased, ultimately, with what he took away from. Now, the weird thing about his contract is that he still has, from that signing bonus, a $3.6 million dead cap money. I don't know how that rolls into this year, what they do with that, kind of what you said. It'll be interesting to see how they handle, you know, his base pay, what they give him in a bonus. Are they going to kick the can similar to the way they did with the first year of Denzel Ward's? You know, will they put a couple void years on here and kick the can down the road again? It'll be interesting to see how they handle that. You know, if they truly are going all in, they should do that, right? Because leave some more room, as much room as possible, to go after other pieces if necessary, you would think.
Yeah, I think the void year stuff will be fascinating again. You're right. What is cap numbers? Jack Duffman did a great job of putting out what he thought it would be. I tried to illustrate Jack's tweet in my podcast yesterday, and I think they'll do some void years, but continue to protect now and later and just push that off a little bit as the cap continues to explode vertically, as yes, it should in the next few years, for sure.
Okay. So we, you know, no huge surprise. They were expecting Clowney to come. It's kind of a, not more like a yes, but more of a kind of a sigh of relief, I think, from Browns fans as a whole, that, okay, I'm glad that's done, right? You know, so OTA starts tomorrow. Let's go there. Reports are out. Baker Mayfield will not be in attendance. You know, Jake, it's interesting here. Thoughts on this real quickly. He's kind of doing the Browns a favor here. I don't know if, you know, what the communication has been, but if he really wanted to apply pressure, he would show up, wouldn't he?
You would think he would. You would think he would. So I think he is, to put it lightly, they're doing them a favor. But there could be some back channel dealings of whether he was going to be there or not. I don't know. I mean, I would hope that the Browns and Baker's camp are keeping this cordial, but your guess is as good as mine on that. But yeah, I mean, in terms of I want to get a deal done and I want it to be done now, you would think there'd be some pressure there, but there also might not be his ability to pass a physical right this second. So sure, it might not matter. I'm not sure. It's a ton of conjecture from my end. I would think if he wanted to put pressure on, you're right, Brad, he would be there, but it seems he does not have a desire to be there. He's not going to be there. It's good for the Browns. It's good for Baker in terms of, I guess it's good for Baker in terms of staying away from the situation and the hostility of it and the weirdness, awkwardness of it. But yeah, I don't, it doesn't have any bearings. I didn't expect him to show up for OTAs. I'm sure you didn't either. And I'm sure most people didn't, but there were some out there who believed that this could be some sort of thing, but I didn't think it was going to shake out this way. So I'm not surprised.
I don't know. Forgive me, listeners, if I hit on this with you already, Jake. But did I tell you? I mean, the report that came out that said that the Browns were willing to eat $3.5 million in it. Did we talk about this? $3.5 million in the draft day negotiations with the Panthers. That seems very small to me, right? Like, that was shocking to me.
Yeah, that's extremely low. I would have thought they'd have gone to about half, but yeah, they could be pushing the limit here to see how far they can get and what teams are willing to bend on. So as the year gets closer, Brad, I would imagine that number will continue to creep more toward the 50-50 line.
Sure. This is a crossover edition of the OBR Film Breakdown with Jake Burns. I'm Brad Ward of All Eyes on Cleveland. We like to do this once a week, get together, chop things up, and hash it out. We're here on the air. Jake, let's move to some more drama. You know, this stuff's not a whole lot of fun to talk about, but we can hit on it here real quickly. Browns taking some heat here. I think the word was tone deaf. Not the Browns, but Watson takes the offense to the Bahamas, right? I think it was Florio again weighing in that the Browns, this was a tone-deaf move, or, you know, the optics are bad on this or whatever. Thoughts on that?
Well, yeah, I mean, I get it. Watson's going to continue to live his life. He's not going to live his life in a hole. He's not going to, you know, he, again, has maintained, Brad, his innocence through all of this.
Yes.
Now, we'll see what comes of the civil cases and what they do ultimately here. But he has maintained innocence. He's going to go on living his life. I think he's doing so in a way that is out of the public eye. I don't think the Bahamas trip was all too featured. You know, I don't think the Browns are going to feature it. I don't think many people are going to feature it. It was just something he wanted to do with the guys he's on their team. I'm sure he wanted to get some one-on-one time with guys and talk about his situation and his life and what brought him to that spot. And so I guess I get the optics of it look bad, but you cannot expect a guy like Watson, who still, despite your distaste of him as a person, and I get it, if that's your feeling, totally understand, he's still been entrusted with the franchise here, and he's going to do what he thinks is best to get the respect of his guys and all of those factors that surround being a face of a franchise. So, yeah, I get it if you don't like it because you don't like the person and you don't like what he's done and are accused of or whatever, but he's not going to just live in a hole and sit in Berea and you know, it's not it. He's going to live his life, and that might not be something you enjoy all too much. But hopefully, if that's the case, you can block it out because that's just what he's going to do. And sure, the optics, I guess, don't look great. But again, he's operating under the belief of his own that he's innocent, and he's getting ready for a football season with a new franchise. And he wanted to do something nice for the offense that he's about to partake in. So I don't have a problem with it. I mean, again, these decisions for Watson, the person, are out of my hands. I didn't make them. I can't make them. I can't judge them. I'm not on a jury. I don't have any decision over it. He's just going on living his life. And if he wants to do that, then, hey, man, do your thing. That's fine. Just do what you got to do to be good at your job as a football player here, because that's what we talk about.
Here's what I would say about this, Jake, and I agree totally. Yeah, but I think you made a great point either last week or the week before when we discussed kind of the Browns, you know, being put in this bad guy light by Nashville. And you said they knew and have known since they got on that plane and went to go get Deshaun Watson that they could not care about what anybody said. I think the same kind of goes here for Deshaun Watson. Like, I mean, he feels he's innocent. He can't really care, right? He can't really let that stuff – I mean, I get it, he can care, but – he has to live his life. He believes he's innocent. He's going to live his life as though he's QB1 of the Browns. And let's be honest, Jake, if this wasn't the circumstances, he would have been lauded for doing this, right? He would have been cheered by everybody around the NFL for taking his offense away into the Bahamas and treating if this wasn't the circumstances, right? So I think that, you know, it's hard, right? I get that why some people could feel that way. But Instagram live and the pictures and the smiling and maybe less of that might have helped a little bit. But once again, who are we to judge what he's doing? You know, we don't know. So it's really hard to judge that. As a Browns fan, I'm like, great. There, you know, the offense got together for a week before OTAs. I feel that is something that makes me, as a purely football fan, happy. Now, there's a lot of layers to that, but selfishly, I'm glad they got together, right?
Yeah, I mean, we can only operate under what we know. The civil cases are ongoing. We cover the team. We care about the Browns. I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry, but I have no choice. There's no choice here. For me, it's a job, and we've gone through this 100 times now. We don't have to rehash it all, but like, it is what it is. He's innocent because they didn't bring charges against him, and he's just operating his life. I'm not out there buying Deshaun Watson jerseys. I'm not selling the person to people and trying to convince them that this didn't happen. That's not what I'm doing. But as we know, this HBO special is coming tomorrow. It's going to get ugly. There are going to be accusers that are going to be up there talking. Rusty Harden did his own podcast today. And listen, I don't think much is going to come like from the Browns organization on this either. They're just going to let it play out. It's going to be a really, I guess, prepare yourselves. It's going to be a really ugly day on Twitter Wednesday through the weekend, and it's going to be out in the public, and there's going to be a lot of things said, and hopefully HBO can keep it as much as possible from both sides. I think it's got a chance to be an ugly interview and be really hard on Watson, and it's going to, the timing of it is meant to sway public opinion, because what it's going to do is it's going to put pressure on him in this moment that he needs to settle the case. That's what they want. They want to settle it. They want to get as much money as possible, which, okay, do your thing. There's a clear reason why it's happening right now. These women can get on. They can tell their story. They can get something from it. And, you know, from like a settle, like they're trying to push toward a settlement, in my opinion, where Watson has to offer them a sum of money before the NDA stuff comes out. That's what they're pushing for right now. Make Watson feel the pressure that the NFL is going to suspend him, because, you know, they're going to make him feel that pressure. The NFL, the optics, the public opinion, it's going to be gnarly. So put that pressure on Watson to just tell it, hey, everything can go away and money can get paid out, because that's all that matters. There's no criminal proceedings here. Two grand juries said they won't do it, so they can't get these women, if they're telling the truth, can't get something in terms of punishment for the guy that they are accusing, but they can get money from the situation, and then I guess money makes everything better. So that's just what it is. The timing of this is truly predicated on putting pressure on Watson to just say enough is enough. Let's put this away. Let's pay these situations to go away. And I fully expect it to be ugly. And I don't really plan to spend much time on social media the next few days, Brad.
Yeah, it's going to be hard. It's going to be hard, you know, as Browns fans, no matter where you stand, it's just going to be kind of ugly. And here's the thing, right, that I worry about, and I really shouldn't worry about it, but the thing that I'm concerned about is that you're only getting one side, right? Like, okay, so HBO's time is up, and obviously this was brought by Tony Busby to HBO. He, you know, there's going to be two accusers that are going to be able to say what they want up there. Now, I heard comments from Busby saying, oh, HBO does a great job, and they're very fair. But this is coming from Busby, the lawyer of the accusers, right? Harden said that he had a member of their staff talk with 8 minutes to HBO and has sent over tons and tons of paperwork, hoping with the pending cases, they can't really let Deshaun comment. Obviously, that would be silly, or go on HBO to defend himself. But they did send all that stuff over, he said, to hopefully try to get a fair, interview, right? You hope that the interview is held, that the accusers are held accountable, and that's not.
HBO says they're going to be hard questions, Brad. I don't know. Okay. I think much like they said that. They said, I don't know, but much like the introductory press conference, there is no winning this situation. There's nothing good that will come of this for Watson or the Browns. They'll continue to be ragged on as if the Browns are the only team interested in Watson, so on and so forth. And listen, it's just going to be ugly for your favorite football team, and you just got to ride it out. I don't know what else there is to say. Nothing can be changed about it, and I'm not going to sit here and continue to harp on the same things people continue to harp on. It's over. It is. We'll see. Hopefully that these situations can continue to just be, I guess, just get them over with. I mean, whether that's the trial or some sort of settlement, they're just lingering. And I think that's what Busby wants, right, is make the Browns, make Watson feel like the presence of these things lingering out there is going to put pressure on to get the money that he's trying to get for his clients. So we'll see if that works out.
And I don't want to keep rehashing this, but that's why at the beginning I kind of said, and you know, we had that conversation the first day, that there might be some value in just moving on, right? And saying, you know, this isn't all worth it because this is just going to drag on forever. But I also get you only get one name and you want to fight for that too. So there's two sides to that, and I totally get that as well. And then there's, you know, the victim side too. So, and there's so many angles that you can look at this. It's very difficult to know where to come down. We try to look at it from a football point of view. And the only reason I bring up this is because it's going to make the first few days of OTAs rather difficult, right? You know, for the Browns, there's going to be a lot of distraction. And that's kind of the main thing coming away from this. The NFL will be watching closely. Hopefully, you know, Jake, do you have any thought on whether the Browns will get the suspension this year? Do you think the NFL is close? I mean, they interviewed Deshaun.
Yeah.
They reserved the right to interview him again. Do you feel like this is going to happen this year, or do you think that it's going to, you know, are they going to get hit twice?
I think Albert Breer and Ian Rappaport have both recently said they expect it to be done this summer. Like, at some point before the season, they expect an answer to be found. So if this thing, they'll give an answer. My thought is this. They will give some sort of suspension, and they won't be really able to fight that suspension. They'll have to take it. And if something comes to light in the future, though, here's where it's there's, to me, somebody listening to this could have a far superior opinion to this. I'm willing to accept that. To me, there's two outcomes. Like, Watson is doing so. Okay, let me backtrack here a little bit. They could suspend him. I expect them to have a suspension this summer. And then sure. They could, if the civil cases bring out new news, new evidence, new whatever, testimony, he could be suspended again. I know that that's highly unlikely, but if something supremely ugly comes out, he could. It's not a one and done thing. You know, the personal conduct situation here, you're always on the line for personal conduct. As far as I know, it's not a one suspension thing. The thing that makes it a one suspension thing, Brad, is if you settle and you'll never have to hear about it again. The NDAs get signed, it goes away forever in perpetuity. Your suspension is your suspension, and it's over. So Deshaun is essentially making the decision, do I want to fight for these civil cases for the public opinion of me, which already seems to be down the toilet, but to prove people that I'm innocent. But the risk is, on the other hand, if I continue to run these out, things could sneak out into public. So it is a little bit of a dicey decision that he's making, because we've seen, Brad, there have been recent pieces of Deshaun's testimony about admitting the crying of the masseuse or whatever, who one of the accusers, like the first accuser, right? So like, that stuff continues to creep out. There will be more stuff that continues to creep out Tuesday. I think the NFL and the Browns know all of it, but putting them in public is a different thing entirely. So I do think that getting this thing finished on both fronts would be great for, I don't know, I guess everybody. The situation could go away. Some people get some money. I guess the women can move on with their lives. Watson can move on with his life, and his whatever the public thinks of him, it all can move on. Just letting this thing linger out longer, the only good thing that can come from it is that if they rule that he's innocent, and that might mean the world to Deshaun at this point to prove, hey, I didn't do this stuff. So that's what we're looking at here. That's the deciding factor.
I will say this. The first accuser, Ashley Solis, I think maybe is how you pronounce her name, the where he admitted that she cried, right?
Mm-hmm.
I heard a really interesting opinion that they have, the understanding is they have pretty much all the information, right? Both sides have heard both stories. They understand and know some things could come out differently in trial, right? But basically, facts have been laid. There's been a lot of depositions. They've heard from both sides pretty much on all these cases. And Busby leaked this story to the USA Today. There are some that feel that if that's what they leaked, that's it. Like, I'm not trying to make what she went through seem any less, but that's the best, like, leak you could have to try to make him look bad is that she cried. I mean, I'm not saying I don't know what happened that day, but there is some kind of, like, that's all a little bit to that. Do you see where I'm coming from?
Yeah, I haven't thought of it that way, but I could see your point on that. I mean, you know, people have surmised that, well, why would anybody cry at the end of a massage therapy session, right? But yeah, I guess that's what Deshaun is weighing. That's the whole thing, Brad, is what they're weighing is what are they afraid of coming out in public? Because if the crying thing is the worst thing, then I guess I imagine he'll fight this thing. I don't know. I've put my opinion out there now on this situation and what I think he was addicted to, and they didn't find criminal charges against him to be possible. We'll see. If the civil cases think that there's enough there to rule that he did these things, and Deshaun could be determined to run the gambit on that to prove that I did not do these things. And if that's the case, time will tell that answer. The time frame is just unfortunate because there won't be any of it during football, so it gets delayed and prolonged to the point that we possibly, Brad, could be sitting here next year talking about the exact same thing.
Yeah. And I want to be clear, you know, when saying that, it's just to try to look at it from a different perspective. I'm not saying he's innocent or guilty or whatever, no, and I know that it looks bad, but I'm just saying to look at it from, like, if you could leak of all things that Tony Busby could leak, and that's what you chose to leak, and you have all that information at your fingertips, and that would make it seem like weaker. You could look at it that way.
Yeah.
That their case is weaker than maybe it appeared at
first.
We'll
never know, Brad.
Maybe I have no idea. Yeah.
We'll never know what happened in those rooms. We will never know the intent. We will never know what the women involved were planning on happening either. We'll never know. We'll never know if there was something more to each of these meetings in terms of what the expectations were. We'll never know. People will make up their mind and they'll go from there. And it's just the way it is. There is, you know, Deshaun Watson could come out of this whole thing innocent. It's possible. And people will never care to hear that. They'll always presume he's guilty, or there will always be people who presume he's innocent because they really love this idea of this quarterback for the Browns because, hey man, he's my new quarterback. He's a better quarterback than what we had. And I don't want to hear all that other crap. He was innocent in the court of law, right? He didn't get charged. So it's just, it's whatever you want to believe. I'm a middle ground person, man. I think there are things I'll never know about this case, and ultimately my opinion of it means nothing, Brad. It means nothing. Yeah. So, like, I don't think people listen to our pods to hear me give my opinion on legal matters. You know, there's better outlets for that stuff. I just talk about the football stuff as often as I possibly can. Sometimes the off the field stuff, like we're talking about here, is just unavoidable. So we hit it.
And the only reason I want to hit the off the field stuff like that is because it does ultimately affect the on the field stuff, right? And that's what we're looking at as OTAs begin tomorrow and this whole thing sets. Yeah, you know, I would prefer to stay away from it completely too. And I agree with you. I don't think we'll ever know. And I'm kind of middle ground too, or I am. I don't know what happened. Sometimes it's maybe easier to play a little naive to that. I'm not claiming that's what I do, but I know that a lot of people in Cleveland are accused of that. But once again, we don't know. And, you know, Jake, ultimately, I'm just trying to figure out how many games he's going to be able to play this year. Right. Like, that's kind of what I'm weighing it, and how it's going to affect the team as a whole as we look at it as a football thing. Right.
Couldn't agree more. I mean, that's the big thing. And then all the other stuff falls into place after that, in my opinion.
Jake, anything else you want to hit on tonight? It's going to be a big week here, and we're doing over at All Eyes on Cleveland, Jake. We're doing, you know, the whole logo redo thing here. So we're going to be coming back hitting YouTube hard with, I got new intro videos, new outro videos, the new logo, the blue wire, everything. So I'm excited to do that here in the week coming up. So maybe we'll have you back on and do a video session here next week or something.
I love it, man. I got to get my song at the beginning of my pod redone too. So I feel all of that. I feel it, my man. So listen, always fun to get together, Brad. Hopefully we'll have something more pleasant to talk about next time. Nonetheless, always a joy, my friend. Thanks for having me.
Football for sure. For sure. Yes. Jake Burns of the OBR Film Breakdown, the fantastic Jake Burns. I'm Brad Ward of All Eyes on Cleveland. And with that, we are out.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.